Episode 2205, Is Your Child Striving to Achieve a Label?
Moms, it's time to rediscover, rejuvenate, and renew who you are in mind, body, and spirit. Welcome to Create Your Now, Your Best Selfie, the show to help you do just that. Here's your host, certified life coach, personal trainer, and nutritionist, Christiane Wargo. Staring at a stop
sign, watching. Happy day, it's Fry. Yay! Are you excited? I so am. It's Confessions of an Upset Mama, and you know what? It has been a week. It's been a wonderful week, but it has moved very fast. And don't you feel like sometimes you just want to slow things down when your kids are so cute and little, but then they get to the point in a certain stage that you're like, can you just get out of this already? Well, we're jumping in today. Is your child striving to achieve a label? For those of you who are brand new to Create You Now, welcome to this incredible family. I'm so delighted of your presence. If you already had the opportunity, you'll want to head on over to createyournow.com where you can learn more and sign up for the Kisses newsletter, the Keep It Simple strategy, everyday solutions to live, love, and impact. Well, this episode is brought to you by the AIM Academy. You know, labels have a way of crushing who we are. Yet, at the same time, labels are something we chase. Is your child striving to achieve a label? I don't know if you listened to yesterday's episode with Arden Bevere, and his book is called Redefined. If you haven't listened to that episode, I would encourage you to go back to it. It's episode 2204. It's in my Strength is My Story series. And we talk about confronting the labels that limit us. And as I started thinking about that, we're doing that with our children. You know, labels give you a sense of belonging, right? They give you that feeling that you're welcomed. It almost feels like home. And also that you're worthy. Everyone desires to be loved. It's one of our basic fundamental needs. Look at our children, right? Our younger generations are raised from the time of conception to meet and or exceed expectations. Let me just name a few of them. Weight gain from the mama. Yes. If you've given birth, oh my goodness, the doctor's asking you every single time you go in, they're checking your weight, right? Movement within the womb. Growth chart, infancy to at least 2 years old. They're looking at what the percentile, teething, first words. Are they crawling, walking, and when are they doing it? Are they reading? Preschool, do I put them in at age 2, age 3? What's the cutoff? Oh, wait, are they out of diapers? Are we potty trained yet? Sports, grades, driver's license, varsity and JV teams. You got valedictorian, salutatorian. You've got all these Torians, Ivy Leagues and universities and community colleges, dating and marriage. And oh my goodness, it's Fry. Yay! Do you ever feel like all we're doing is placing labels on our children? Some of it's positive, but some of it's negative. And the problem is we take these labels and they become our what? Identity. And when somebody asks you, hey, who are you? What do? You're like, well, I'm in business and, you know, I'm kind of wild. I'm a free for all. That's what I am. And it's almost as if we use it as an excuse or a way to say, this is the way I live because of label, label, label. Go back to somebody asking you, well, why haven't you started that business? Well, you see, you know, I'm just a mom. Have you seen my house, my laundry? Yeah, I know you've used that term if you're just a mom. You're not just a mom, but that becomes a label. Now, some of these labels at the very beginning, yeah, they're good. You know, we're making strides to be the best at the very beginning. And some things we really do need to focus on. We want our children in the highest percentile, playing on the varsity teams and attending one of the most sought after colleges. Now, understand, this stuff can be vital to living. So if you look at, is my child crawling at a certain stage of life, that's an important indicator, right? It's a marker. That doesn't mean that if your child isn't crawling, at the time that an average baby crawls, then that doesn't mean your child is less than. But I guarantee you, if you go back as a first-time mom and somebody says, oh, well, my child was walking at 7 months old, and you're like, oh my gosh, mine didn't even start walking till like 13 months old. You're thinking, what happened? What did I do wrong? But see, these are just markers. They're indicators. But that doesn't mean necessarily anything good or bad. It's just a way for us to say, okay, we need to watch this to make sure, because we may need to check some other things. So some of what we're watching, some of these labels that we place on our children are very positive. It's vital when it comes to living. But most of what we look at is pure fluff. What if you stripped all of this stuff away from your child, besides the health stuff? Would you know what to do as their parent? Think about that. What if I was to strip you of all your labels? Your job title, your mom title, and then I asked you, who are you? Would you know how to answer that? Are you striving to put labels on your child? And then also, is your child striving to achieve a label? If you have children that are old enough, they know. Well, I know if I do this, I get this. We have dangling carrots, right? We're like, here, if you do this, come on, here's the reward. Then I will give you this. If you work really hard and you get to the championship game, then we're going to go out and celebrate. Now, I'm not saying celebration is wrong. I want you to hear my heart on this. A lot of parents are hurting right now when it comes to their children, because they don't feel like their child measures up. And then they take it personally and they're like, well, if my child's not doing this, then what if? I've talked to parents whose children have ended up in prison. Are they hurt and broken by it? Of course they are. Is it their fault? No. They did the best that they could in the season of life that they were in, whenever, whatever the circumstances were that placed that child in prison. Was there a slight influence? Yes, we all have influence. But was it 100% their fault? No. Because their child made a decision. They were not forced to do anything directly. There was not control by the parent. But where does that guilt fall? It falls on us as the parent. And so when we see these stories out there in the news media outlets, on YouTube, floating around on the radio, if you still listen to the radio, and all of a sudden you're like, oh my gosh, I don't want my child to end up like that. Am I doing that to my child? You begin to second guess every single thing that you're doing. And the flip side of that is, depending upon the age of your child is getting feedback from you. And it could be pressure putting on them, going, well, are you going to try out for that dance team? Come on, you're so good. I was watching a Hallmark movie. I don't remember the name of it. It was a Christmas movie. Yes, I know Christmas is over, but I'm going to talk about it because most of the time Christmas makes people smile. But in this portion of the Hallmark movie, the girl who was in high school was trying out for volleyball to get a scholarship to go to college. Her mama played volleyball. But guess what? She told this stranger that now has become a friend of the family that was hired to put on this Christmas family adventure for a week with them. She told her, I don't want to play volleyball. My mom did it. She was great at it. I liked it when I was young, but now I don't love it. I want to sing in the choir. You see, sometimes we pressure our children and we don't realize we're putting that pressure, and that pressure then comes from what? A label. Oh, you're so good at football, you need to go play. I have three boys. All three of them played football at a young age. Our oldest son played football for 1 year, and that was it. And I was like, really? And of all my boys, he was built for football. But you know what? That's all right. Yeah, I can still love football, but I don't have to love football and force him to play football. I want him to play football because he wanted to play football and he didn't, so he backed away from it. Sometimes us as parents, we get in the way of our own children. And we don't realize that we are putting this stress on our kids, that we are, yeah, somewhat dragging them in and applying these labels to them. These expectations as to, you know what? This is what I think you need. We place our own expectations on our kids, not on purpose, but it just happens. This is real life. This is real stuff. However, this is where our children begin to learn that labels, better known as placements, report cards, achievements, successes, trophies, awards, failures, and accolades, and more, either help them or push them back. So instead of allowing labels to define the purpose, the direction, and the journey of your child, you need to create a garden of truth. That is your KISS, the Keep It Simple strategy. Create a garden of truth. Can you tell I'm a little tired of winter already? And I'm in the South, so we have a little more sun. It's a little gloomy. Yesterday was all more rain and cloudy skies, but that's our winter weather here. But I'm so ready for spring already. So we got to create that garden of truth. It can be challenging, but it doesn't have to be. There's five main things I want you to think about this when you're thinking about creating a garden of truth. And I need you to understand this from the terms of labels, okay? Understand that labels can be positive and negative. This isn't about right or wrong. This is about you thinking and going deeper than just saying, oh yeah, you need to get up and you need to play softball. Did you ever think that maybe the seventh year of your daughter playing softball, maybe she doesn't want to play it anymore? But she just keeps doing it. I had a girlfriend whose son quit sports. Decided he would keep football, but drop all the other sports. And he wanted to go into riding dirt bikes instead. Motocross. That's awesome. If that's his love. Why sit there and make the poor child play basketball all the time, right? And they had a discussion about it. And so mama and dad pulled back. And they said, okay, we're going to support you on this. But not every parent sees this within their child. They just keep pressing and pressing and pressing. And yes, at times, you better believe we need to press our children. I'm all for you make a commitment, you stay with it, and you continue. However, there are exceptions to the rule. And there's also a time and a season for everything, right? So how can you begin to build a garden of truth so it begins to wrap around your child versus them having to worry about, do I have to, you know, live up to a particular label? Am I chasing that label? Am I going for that just because? You would not want your son or your daughter to go and become a doctor if they really don't want to help people in that manner. They're going to be miserable, let alone the amount of loan debt they're going to have, but they're going to be miserable for years. But we do it when they're second grade, third grade, fourth grade. And we're like, oh, you got to do this. I think you'd really be good at it. I'm all in for letting them try things and test things. But when they get old enough to where you can have a conversation with them about their likes and dislikes, what they're dreaming about, what they think they're good at, Then you could begin to actually support them at a different level. And that, my mama and dad, that's where we're missing the boat. We're not listening to our kids. That's number one. To create a garden of truth, you've got to listen. You are called to pay attention to your child. As a parent, that's what you're called to do. And you're like, no, I'm not. I'm called to discipline. I'm called to tell them what to do. No, you need to pay attention to your child. And I'm here to tell you that most parents are not intentionally listening. It's all about what they want as the parent. Mama wants daughter to do this. Mama wants son to do this. So I'm going to make sure they do it. We as parents get stuck in our own agendas. Your child needs to be heard. So listen. Number two, commit. How much are you committed to your child and what they are in need of? That's really the question here. It's not about anything else. It's your commitment to your child. It's really difficult when people say, oh my gosh, you know, this baby thing, raising a child is hard. Where did you think it was going to be easy? A child takes a lot of work. And when you said yes, you said, I am committed. I am all in. The good, the bad, and the ugly. But the problem is that we, as the parent, as the mom, as the dad, as the auntie, as the uncle, could be the grandma, the grandpa, we sit back and we're like, you know what? It'd be really nice if they would just do this because, oh, I just see this in them. You can tell them that if they're of the age to have a conversation, but to say you have to do this and to force it on them, that's different. What do they need? What is your child saying? This is what I want. Now, obviously, if it's not good for their health and their well-being, that's a different conversation. That's not what we're talking about here. Are you committed to your child and what they're in need of? Not your own agenda. Number one, listen. Number two, commit. Number three, presence. This is my number one. If your child is going to trust you, you must be present. And most of us as parents are distracted, me included. So for a moment, I want you to stop your distractions right now. Stop multitasking. Turn down your stovetop so you don't burn whatever you're cooking on there. Make sure you have a timer on so you don't burn the chicken that's in the oven. Turn off your phone. Stop scrolling through Facebook or Instagram. And I want you to listen to the sound of my voice. If your child is going to trust you, you must be present. And not when it's convenient for you, but when your child is available. Too much of our days are spent, hey, come on, come when I'm ready. I'm ready now, come listen. And they're like, no, I've moved on already, Mom. I'm playing with my friends, I'm doing this. Well, now I'm ready, so I wanna talk to you. Well, it's gone. And you wonder why there's no communication. Because there's no presence. Presence is the number one thing. You hear me say it over again. Be present. Be incredible. Be you. It's about being aware. Being in it. And that means you also have to be available. And not when you're just available. I know that's one thing that they did not give us when we left the hospital with our child. And said, the one thing you have to do is be present all the time. Your calendar is always open for your child. What do with our children? Nope, it's not always open. I'm on the phone. I'm searching something. I'm buying something on Amazon. Oh, wait, I'm multitasking. I'm in the middle of this Instagram, feed thing. You pick up your child at school. Are you talking to your child on the way home? Or are you on the phone with someone else? Or are you just not talking at all? I'm telling you right now, the big secret, and this is a huge secret if you don't know it already. Your child will talk to you when they are in the car with you. They are isolated with you. Pay attention. They will tell you things. And if you're not listening, if you're not present, you will miss it. Listen to their tone of voice. Watch their body language. Yes, still keep your eyes on the road, but you need to be aware of your child. Presence is golden. In my opinion, it's the key to life. You got to be present in the moment. I wrote about that just one thing with 99 other co-authors. One habit in a post-COVID world. You can go buy it on Amazon right now. I'll have the link in the show notes for you. Our launch day is today. It's very exciting. I'm chapter 70. Be present in the moment. Presence is fundamental, but we miss it every single time. Every single time. I'm guilty of it. You're guilty of it. So it's time to change it. Listen, commit, presence. Number four, multiply. Take what is truth for your child and multiply their strengths. So if you know that they're good at something, figure a way to multiply that. I'm not saying you go and you enroll them in 10,000 things. Like, let's say they're a great actor. Don't go and put them in 20 different acting classes. They're a great ballet dancer. Don't go put her in, 20 different ballet classes. No. What I'm saying is you take their strengths and you multiply it. You compliment them. You recognize it. It becomes what? Their superhero cape. And pretty soon, what's happening? You're building them up. You're not tearing them down. You got to multiply. Now, of course, your son is going to have his weaknesses. Your daughter is going to fall once in a while. But it's more about walking in the God-given gifts and trained talents. Your strengths. Multiply them. It's the garden of truth. You don't have to make anything up. You may have a child that loves to talk. I don't know what my mom would have said. I think I've been talking since I was conceived. I'm still talking a lot. She probably wishes I wouldn't talk. But you know what? I get it both from her and my dad. And it runs very, very strong in the family. So they can't blame me on that one. Yes, it's in the DNA. And so I just have to look and say, well, thank you for that gift, Mom. And it is a gift. She never told me, Christiane, can you be quiet? You talk too much. She never said that. She let me talk because I was an expressive child. And now, oh dear, maybe lucky for you. I'm not sure about lucky for her, but I am expressive. And I have a lot to share. Good, bad, ugly, doesn't matter. You may agree, disagree, but I have a lot to share. She multiplied my strengths. This is encouragement, empowerment. It's not about saying, oh my gosh, you are so much better than your older sister. No, it's not about comparison here. You're looking at your child for whom your child is created. Yes, God-given talents and gifts, trained and learned and refined. Multiply those. Presence, commitment, listening. And finally, number five, vision. Vision is commonly set for your own personal and professional life, but very rarely do we talk about it when it comes to the family. So my question for you is, have you ever given thought to a vision for your family? And you may be thinking it's too late. My kids are older. I've got one already out in college, but I've got another one coming up, high school, middle school. They're too spread out. No, they're not. You can still have a vision for your family. Now, if you want to create a mission statement and all of that, you can. I remember when we homeschooled, we did all of that. We even picked a mascot. And that became really settling in as to who we are as a unit, as a family. But do you have a vision for that? Because that's important too. Because if you have a vision, then you're going to be willing to do what it takes to carry that out and let that shine through your child, through their gifts, through their talents, who they are. Not trying to place a label on them. There's a difference. A vision is more open. There's more freedom in a vision. And if you say, okay, well, give me an example. All right, I'll give you an example. You say that you want your child to grow up to be expressive in their own way and to be able to go out and make people smile. Okay, pretty simple. Now, that's for your son. For your daughter, it may be something different. Then you look at the whole family as the vision and you're saying, okay, I really want us to keep God first. So what does that look like in our everyday? And then how can we as individuals show our love to others the way Jesus showed it when he walked this earth? Whatever vision that is, there's no right or wrong here. It's your family. But I know a lot of us do not think about having visions for our family. How do we want to operate? You can pick a Bible verse. Some people pick a quote from somebody that they, you know, feels their mentor or they read somewhere and they just connected with it. Again, there's no right or wrong. But there's a vision, and a vision gives what? Unity. It's not about a label. It's not about saying, oh, well, you have to be this type of person in order to be accepted in our family. That's not true. But unfortunately, that is the message that is coming to our younger generations. And it's got to stop here. So I want to encourage you. If you haven't listened to yesterday's episode, episode 2204, Art and Bevere, where we talk about confronting the labels that limit us, I want you to go listen to that. And then I want you to think about these five things: listen, commit, presence, multiply, and vision. What do you need to do to step up for your family? Because sometimes it's not always a kid's fault. Come on, it'll just be our secret. Sometimes it's mom's fault. And yes, sometimes it's dad's fault too. But we have to own our own junk. And if you're one who's saying, you know what, I've been pushing my child, it's all right. Just take your foot off the accelerator a little bit. Don't push so much. Part of being a parent is in the discovery. Enjoy each stage and don't rush what you can't control. That's so important. And I know it's so hard because I'm like, can I not just fix that? It'd be so much easier, right? Can I not just fix that? When they were littler, it was so easy. Mama can give a kiss on the knee and it's all better. But as they grow older, it so is not that. A kiss on the knee doesn't work. Life is precious. So be aware of what matters most, your child. And when you begin to create this garden of truth for them, you are giving them the biggest gift anyone can ever give them. Because you are loving them where they're at and for whom God created. Go out today, be an incredible mom, a beautiful dad, be present, be incredible. Be you. I love you so very much. I cannot wait to see you on the other side. Blessings, hugs, and lots of love. We'll talk to you real soon. Have a glorious, blessed weekend. Bye-bye.
Feeling inspired, ready to train for life, and love your journey? Visit createyournow.com for more incredible resources to help you along the way. We'll see you next time on Create Your Now, Your Best Selfie. And remember, always be sure you consult your physician before beginning any health and fitness plan.